Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
That indeed it is. And we are talking today with Dr. John Della Torre, licensed psychologist. We're going to be talking about the Koberger family. The mother and father recently called into a grand jury to testify. It originally was reported it was about a different murder case. The police saying no, it's he has nothing to do with it. But obviously, questioning was going on. I'm sure they had some questions about his behavior when he was at their home over the holidays, and what exactly was going on. This has to be an incredibly difficult thing for loved ones, family members to come to grips with. Obviously, he is innocent until proven guilty, but to look at the evidence, if you're the parent of someone like this, and start to go, oh my God, what if this is the person? I recently read Kerry Rawson's book, The Daughter of BTK, and how she came to grips with it. And it's a very, very unique path, I would assume, to everyone. But how would you handle something like this as a psychologist if, for example, the parents of Koberger booked some time with you? They want to try and figure out how to wrap their mind around this possibility that their son could be a killer.
I have to start off with that treatment with me is not easy. Anyone who's been a patient of mine recognizes that there's a lot of challenging that goes on in session. This idea that we build walls in order to protect ourselves, that our mind can only handle what it can handle in that moment, I think is reality. However, the therapy room is not reality. The therapy room is an opportunity for us to explore everything that's going on in a safe environment. And so there will be direct challenges to ideas that the person that we love is infallible. Everyone is fallible. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone engages in behaviors that they wish they could take back. Now, therapy with me wouldn't be about determining Brian Koberger is a monster, because I don't imbue people with special powers. I don't believe people are monsters or demons or anything like that. What I would do with the parents is work with them to acknowledge the fallibility of everyone, including themselves, that is possible to have blinders on to things that are going on and to accept realities as they present themselves, right? Mm-hmm. As it's presented right now, their son has not engaged in behaviors I imagine they would approve of. Now, maybe they'll be vindicated later, but the reality is now. The reality isn't tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we have to live in what is now. We hold on to things that we need to in order to feel safe and secure in our environment, but we are not ignoring realities as we are confronted with them.
And that must be a difficult thing to try and get individuals to deal with reality on reality's terms. When you have some pushback or you have people that will give you the answers of, well, that's impossible. He would never do that. Again, I know we're not talking, you know, directly about the individual. You're working more so on the bigger picture and how they interpret things and how they understand things. But how do you begin to break that down and help to allow them to see those sort of realities?
What I would say is that impossibility does not exist. We live in a universe in which anything is possible. The probabilities, however, those are very limited. Those are finite. And so we have to start breaking through the language that we're using, that nothing is impossible. Everything is possible. We have to start looking at, well, is this improbable or is this probable? And what are the probabilities of that thing happening? I think a lot of people like having this idea that they can quantify reality, that they can put a number to how much they're willing to believe. And I think that breeds a sort of comfort, because then you can put it on a scale, right? Then you can kind of measure it. And so I would have no problems of quantifying these kinds of things, because I think it'll go a long way to propelling the family forward into understanding that that just because a person is your child doesn't mean that they're a good person.
Sure. And that would be very difficult, I think, to accept. Once you get someone there and start to understand the probability and looking at the reality of things, maybe they get there. They have it in front of them. They are accepting that this could be a probability. It could be a very likely probability. Then you have the shame, the guilt, and all of those sort of things that individuals will inevitably start going through. I would imagine if you're a parent or even a sibling of someone like this, if in fact he is guilty, you'd be looking at everything you've ever done and probably blaming yourself or saying, if I did this or didn't do that. What would you say to someone like that who's going to go down that road when coming to the acceptance of something like this?
I would say that emotions are not there to hurt you, right? Emotions, if emotions were to hurt us, if they were designed to do that, we wouldn't have them. Mm-hmm. Emotions are designed to help us deal with the situation that's going on, whether the situation is internally or externally. Our emotions tell us what exactly it is that we should be doing in that moment. So there's nothing wrong with feeling shame and guilt, right? And you feel as much shame, you feel as much guilt as you want to. However, we have to be careful with when we're experiencing such negative and vulnerable emotions that it doesn't erode our own self-esteem. That we have to remember that once we are aware that we are alive, we start making choices. And just because that you were the parent of this child, right, that doesn't mean that the child was always influenced by you. There are other influences that determine how someone is going to make a decision. You're only one piece. So should you accept guilt for certain things that your child has done? Sure. Maybe you did something wrong. I have no idea. It's certainly possible and certainly probable that maybe you should have handled a situation differently. But you only take responsibility for what's yours. And that's really the key. You don't take responsibility for other things. And you have to remember that at some point, your child decided to make a choice. And that choice is not on you. Other people may say that it is, but it's not on you. Other people may say that it is because they need to deal with their own stuff, but it's not actually on you. You take responsibility for what's yours, not what someone else's.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Don DeLaTorre, thank you so much for your insights. Always very much appreciated, Doctor. Thank you. If you like the podcast, you want ad-free versions of, in fact, access to all of our podcasts with no ads, become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts to the True Crime Today family. There you'll get access to all of our podcasts in their entirety, all ad-free. Check it out. Even try it for 3 days free right now through Apple Podcasts. My name's Tony Bruschi. Follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Stay with us.